All around the world, men and women, people of all ages, have witnessed the awesome manifestation of God's presence, power, and His love rendered in words. Words beyond the written pages.
Why are we preaching like this? Why do we travel all around the world preaching the gospel? Because Jesus is coming again. And He left us with a message to tell the untold. A message for the whole world.
This message of faith in God and His unfailing word has brought about change in the lives of millions around the world. An improvement that brings many more to such meetings with the man of God, knowing that their lives will never be the same again. Today we bring you excerpts from a special meeting with our man of God, Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris, worth hearing.
Ye are the light of the world. This is the statement of the Master, Jesus Christ. When the Lord says to you, you are the light of the world, that means I have a calling in this life. I bring illumination to this world. If you're a child of light, what are you? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in this world, I'm the light of the world. And He says, you are the light of the world. When I arrive, illumination comes. When I arrive, what you didn't know, you will get to know. There's something about you, brother. There's something about you, sister. There's something about you. Ye are the light of the world. Praise the Lord. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 19 and verse 28. Read it, one, two, go. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, now this is the way it's written in King James and some other translations, ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Firstly, I'd like to correct this scripture before you can make sense out of it, because what is the way it's written and in several other translations is not accurate. This seems to suggest something else. But I'm going to read it first, the way it should be. The problem is the punctuation. And the punctuation can change the meaning of a subject. Okay? So I want to give you, put the punctuation in the right place, and then I will explain why. You ready? Okay. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration... So that comma you have after followed me is in the wrong place. It should come after the word regeneration. You say, why? Well, in the actual Greek, the accent is not there. So the translators use their prerogative to put that punctuation there. And that's because they lost the meaning of what that word said. So what Jesus said was, ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now you say, what's the difference? The difference is huge. So I want to explain. There are three major areas in the New Testament where you have the expression that is synonymous to what you have there, regeneration. And so what we have is that the translators have a mix-up. Okay, what Jesus was saying is, ye which have followed me in the rebirth, in the regeneration, in this renewal. Because He came to begin a regeneration, a rebirth. This was the process that he began with his disciples. So he says, ye which have followed me in this regeneration. Are you following this? So, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones. He's saying, you're going to have your reward. But he's dealing with those who have followed him in this regeneration. Now, what they thought, for which reason they put that punctuation there, was the word reconstitution. Now, reconstitution may be synonymous to renewal, but they're not the same. That's like restructuring. Okay? So, we may use different words to say about the same thing, but they're not dealing with the same subject at all. Now, when you have something similar, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter number 3, and we will read from verse 21. It says, whom the heaven, now talking about Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution. That's the word that they're confusing. The restitution of all things. Because this is futuristic. It says, whom the heaven must receive until the restitution of all things. Now, the Greek here is apokatastasis, which means reconstitution. Restructuring, like the rebuilding, putting together again of all things, a restoration. Can you see that? There's a difference between a restoration and a rebirth. Are you following this? So that word is not the same as polygenesia that was used earlier in St. Matthew's Gospel. That one means rebirth. I'm going to show you in the third place where it is used, and you'll see it's very different from this. Now look at this. This is futuristic. So they are thinking, ye which have been with me, or ye which have followed me, comma, in the reconstitution of all things, or in the restitution of all things. That's not what Jesus said. He said, ye which have followed me in the regeneration. Okay, now go to the book of Titus chapter 3. And look at verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. This is the same regeneration that Jesus was talking about in St. Matthew's Gospel. This is the rebirth. Not the restoration. When you are born again, you are not restored. You are given a new life. Jesus said you must be born again, not you must be restored. So the future thing that Jesus was talking about was about sitting on his throne. But the regeneration was what he began already with his disciples. This was the work of regeneration until it was perfected by his resurrection. Do you understand now? Okay, now, why did I say all that? I knew that if I shared that scripture with you, if you didn't understand exactly what the word was saying, it will make much sense. But I'm trying to tell you, we have been with Jesus. His 12 disciples followed him in this regeneration. They were going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. But the regeneration is not over. Can you see it? We are still preaching that regeneration. We are still carrying out that regeneration, which means we shall have our reward, every one of us, because we have been following him in this regeneration. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Tell somebody it's not over.
It's not over.
Still so much to be done.
We're carrying out the work of
regeneration. Remember, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, you must be born again. A rebirth. Different from a restoration.
Glory to God.
So we are with him in his project of regeneration, giving men a new life, bringing men into a new birth of the Spirit. It is our responsibility. And we are so glad to be chosen of God, be a part of this, carrying out and carrying on the work which Jesus began both to do and teach. And then continued by his apostles that he chose. Glory to God. So we are part of this. This is amazing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at another thought here. Daniel chapter 7. We're reading verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion. See how it ends. I like it. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom. Oh, not the whole heaven. Call it what you may. Whatever city, nation, or town, or settlement. Look at it now. All under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Shout amen, somebody. This is how it's all going to end. I told you yesterday, the Antichrist is not going to take over the world like they're thinking. No, we will have to leave this world first before he comes to do his thing. And then when we come back, we arrest him and put him in the bottomless pit. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And he'll be cast into that bottomless pit. He will be there 1,000 years without Satan. Think about it. Just the discipline. You know, God just wants to discipline him. 1,000 years. Keep him there. Can you imagine a bottomless pit? He'll be descending for 1,000 years. He's not going to get to the bottom. 1,000 years, he's still falling. Hallelujah. So it's all going to be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's us. Okay. Now before the next scripture, let me take a detour and show something that will lead to what we want to say. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Read it. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. I like that. And he that winneth souls is wise. That's the last part I want you to say. It says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Okay? What comes out of you is a tree of life. So you see, the tree of life is now in your mouth, correct? Uh-huh. So you're producing life. It's coming out of you. Thank God. But he that winneth souls, it says, is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Say, I'm wise. So no matter what you see in the world, remember, this is the most important. Do you know what it is to be recognized for soul winning? Dear Lord Jesus, something the Bible says, when one sinner repents, there's joy in heaven for one person. The Bible says the angels rejoice. How much does a soul cost? What is the value of one soul? I can tell you. Can I tell you? Because I've calculated it. I've calculated it. I calculated the cost of a soul and I found out the answer. You want to write it down? Okay. Okay. You're ready? You want the formula with which I calculated it? I'll give it to you. Write T
Write it down. T. B. O. J. That was the formula I used in calculating it, and I found it to be the blood of Jesus. One soul! I found out if there had been only one person in the world, Jesus would have still come to die. He didn't come because we were many. He came because we were valuable to God. That's the cost. That's the cost. So it's an exciting moment for us to be able to sit down like this and think that we've changed lives and think that we have done something meaningful in the kingdom of God. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. So he that winneth souls is what? One more time. Okay. Daniel chapter 12. Book of Daniel chapter 12. We are reading from verse 1. Read from verse 1. Verse 2. Hi. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's painful. Read verse 3. And they shall shine as the brightness of the moon, and they will turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Somebody say hallelujah. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Hallelujah. The church is marching on. The church is marching on. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The church is marching on. One more time. The church is marching on. The church is marching on. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The church is marching on. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. They shall shine like stars. They that turn many to righteousness. He that winneth souls is wise. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The brightness of heaven. You know, sometimes you don't see the sun, but everywhere is bright. Because the sun is somewhere. Is that correct? Yeah. So everywhere is bright. Oh. Even sometimes at night, when you got a full moon, everywhere is bright. It says, they that be wise shall shine like the brightness of the heavens. Then, they that turn many to righteousness as the light givers. You see? They are the reason for the brightness. Uh-huh. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Verse 14.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. This is the statement of the Master, Jesus Christ. He said it with force. He said it with power. Ye are the light of the world. What a statement. Oh, ye are the light of the world. You know, several weeks ago, I was in the spirit, and the voice of the Lord came unto me saying, I've made you a light. And I thought, yeah, I heard that. He said, I said, I've made you a light. Oh, yes, yes. He said, no, you haven't heard me yet. I've made you a light. I said, yes. Then suddenly I thought, oh, Lord, what does it mean? Then he said, I want you to look into my word and see what it means. It is not as light as it looks. Ye are the light of the world. As one of the most powerful statements ever to come out of the lips of the Master. Saying to us the very things that he said about himself. He said, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. Now he says to us, you're the light of the world. Then I thought, oh, this is wonderful. Now I'm in the spirit. The Lord's ministering to me and I'm listening. And these things are coming in visions. And then he says, I told you this a year ago. I said, a year ago. He said, yes, I told you this a year ago. I said, a year ago. Suddenly in my spirit, I picked it. He said, it was in the month of November. And I told you it was the month of lights. I said, Lord, can I find out? I'd forgotten. I picked my stuff. I quickly went through, going through the months, and finally got there. Sure enough, it was there. November was the month of lights. And then he said, you didn't give it much thought. I said, yeah, now I think so. Listen, a year ago, he told us that was the month of lights. And I shared a little bit about it, but I wasn't sure I'd gotten all of it. But at that point, I left it. But what God wanted me to do was to go deeply into it and find out what he was talking about. And so, here it is. Listen. Can we read a little more? Can we read? Go back to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. We were in verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, that automatically means that we are set on a hill. Listen. You've been planted on a hill. You're there. It's not over. Let's read more. Next verse. Neither do men. Look at the word. Neither do men. That means we need to complete that statement properly for God. You didn't get it. He says, go back to 14. Ye are the light of the world. a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Full stop. It's over. Now, let's go to the next verse. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a, that means a basket, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Neither do men, nor does God do it. I said, complete it for God. Are you following that? So, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. He's saying, you are the light of the world. I didn't put you under a basket. I put you on a lampstand. You're not under a basket. If men will not put light under a basket, neither would I do that. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Oh God, I am the light of the world. I understand my calling. I am the light of the world. Now, you know, what is light? The scientists tell us it's electromagnetic radiation. And that's about how far they know. When they talk about visible light. So they understand there's invisible light. Once it's outside the wavelength, the range, they tell us that between 400 nanometers to 700 nanometers, take a little out or take a little in, within that range, is visible light. And outside of that range, it's either too short or too long a wavelength for man to be able to see. Okay? And that tells us something. That's what they know. That's how far they know. But the truth is, really, there's visible light and there is invisible light to the optical eyes. But light is beyond electromagnetic radiation. This is the light that man can discover. But the Bible talks about the light which no man can approach unto. Hallelujah. But the beautiful thing is, everyone seems to understand what light is. At least, if you've got some eyes to see. So, what does light do? It illuminates, right? It illuminates. Let's just look at one or two scriptures. Very simple. Hello. Are you there? I know you are. Glory to God. Psalm 27, verse 1. What does it say? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I don't know whether you're getting it or not. The Lord is my light. Understand this. There is such a thing as God giving me light. There is such a thing as God giving me salvation. Oh God. Let's move forward. Look at the next part. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, there's such a thing as God giving me strength. There is such a thing as God strengthening me. But It's greater when the Lord is my strength. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So, you see, that means He is my deliverance. He is my salvation. Do you understand? So, no matter where I find myself, I am saved because He is my salvation. I come out of trouble because the Lord is my salvation. He works in me. The very Savior is in me. Oh, shout amen, somebody. He is my salvation. He is my salvation. He is the strength of my life. Ah, I don't need Him to give me strength now. He is my strength. Do you get what I'm talking about? So when you understand that He is your salvation, you can understand that He is your strength. Then you come back and say, all right, the Lord is my light. Oh, He is my light. So my knowledge of God is light. He is my light. No wonder He has turned me into light. I can understand it now. Because He and I are one. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Just trying to lay the foundation, all right? So you can get this stuff. It's so powerful. Visions chapter 5, verse 13. He defines light for us very simply. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The King James gets it so perfectly. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. He says, light is that which makes manifest. You turn light on, you're going to see something. Light illuminates. And so when the Lord says to you, you are the light of the world, that means I have a calling in this life. I bring illumination to this world. Oh. When I arrive, illumination comes. When I arrive, what you didn't know, you will get to know. Are you getting it now? Say, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. See, you have a calling. Everywhere you are, you are the light. You are the light. You are the light. You are the light. And here's another beautiful thing. You know, this, it's a great idea about the sun and the moon. A wonderful relationship. Okay? You know, the moon is not a light. That's an interesting truth. Scientific truth. See, the moon is not a light. Even though you see it with the light. As though it's light. The moon gets its light from the sun. And it's an amazing reflection because the moon is a very black substance. The surface is black. Can you imagine that? It's so black. And yet, it reflects light in such a powerful way. And so there's an interesting idea about us being the moon. Jesus being the sun. And so we reflect the light. I know you like that, but not exactly. Not exactly. I'll show you from the word now. It's better than that. He really doesn't take us as the moon that reflects the light of the sun. Even though it's a powerful idea. Okay? There is the babyhood stage of understanding. And then there is the mature stage of understanding. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the Son of Righteousness. Not S-O-N, but S-U-N. Son, like giving light, you know? So He's the Son of Righteousness. Now, what does the Bible say about us? Oh, dear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5,
And we're going to read from verse number 5. You there? Oh, ye are all the children of light. Somebody say hallelujah. If you are a child of a dog, you're a dog. If you're the child of a cat, you're a cat. You can be different from your origin. Look at that. Ye are all the children of light. If you're a child of light, what are you? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in this world, I'm the light of the world. And he says, you are the light of the world. He really wasn't saying you are reflecting my light. No, let's see. Ye are all the children of light. I'm the children of the day. When does the moon shine? Not in the day. Children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So we are not of the moon. You got it. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. 8. But let us who are of the day, there it is again, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Somebody say hallelujah. Say, I'm of the day. Not of the night. That means I'm of the sun, not of the moon. So I give light. Others may reflect. Ha ha ha. So I am an illuminator. Yeah, I bring illumination. I unveil and reveal the things of the Spirit. I reveal truths. I reveal reality. That's my calling. Glory to God. I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Imagine what will happen, the transformation in your life, in your ministry, as an individual, in your family, when you stand and say, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. You'll immediately notice that among your colleagues, you are beginning to show them what to do. Because you are the light. Everywhere you go, they will notice something about you. If they have not been seeing it before, from this conference. Hallelujah. Now you can understand why they have been admiring you. Now you can understand. There's something about you, brother. There's something about you, sister. There's something about you. There's something about you. Ay, 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 ay. You are the light of the world. Can you sing that song? Light your world. Let the light of the world shine through you. In the little things you do. Light your world. And though your light may be reaching only to one tree, light your world. Light your world. Let the love of God shine in the little things you do.
life may be, reaching only to three. Like your word, like your word. Reaching only.